Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Take your New Testaments, please, and turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. And yes, we are still in these particular verses. I know some of us may be a little bit anxious to get this show moving along, you know, get the show on the road. But again, these verses are so important. They're so vital to our Christian faith and our Christian understanding of who God is and what it is that he requires of us and how we are to live. And there's just a lot there. And so we're almost done, just a couple more weeks. Since I have been in these verses for several weeks, I've been reading from different translations to give you a different flavor of these verses. And so I've read from the New International Version, the King James Version, the English Standard Version, the New Revised Standard Version, the Message Paraphrase. And today I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, not to be confused with the Living Paraphrase. If you come across the Living Bible, I would say just disregard it. Very different. It's a fast and loose paraphrase that may be fun to read, but not true to the original expression of the text. This is the New Living Translation, which is a good and viable translation. And here's a fun fact. If you have a New Living Translation, look at the very beginning, the list of editors. And one of the editors you will see, his name is Dr. Joseph Colson, who taught at Nazarene Theological Seminary and was one of my Old Testament professors. I think I took the book of Jeremiah from him. And so he's an Old Testament scholar that helped with the editorial process of the New Living Translation. It's a good translation of the Bible. But today we're going to read Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34 from the New Living Translation. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well. So he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this: Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." The teacher of the religious law replied, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love him with all my heart and with all my understanding and all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. This is more important than to offer all the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law." Realizing just how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. The title of the message today is The Strength. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our strength. And of course, Jesus was quoting the Shema from Deuteronomy chapter 6, which we have recited in the last several weeks. And would you stand with me and let's recite the Shema. Now, as we recite the Shema, the Bible tells us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But you can easily substitute the word worship. Worship the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your strength. Why? Because you love what you worship, and you worship what you love, right?
Right.
And so we could say, worship the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and strength. But recite the Shema with me as observant people of faith have done for centuries. Let's read together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Lord, this is our prayer. This is our desire to love you, to worship you with everything that we've got. And we recite these verses regularly as a reminder to stay on course, to stay on path, because we admit, Lord, we have a tendency to veer off path. The culture is very good at getting our mind off of that which is most important. The culture is very good at distracting our attention, and we need the constant reminder to stay focused on you, to love you, to worship you with everything that we've got. And so give us the grace and the strength to do so. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I know you can tell that I have been working out a lot lately and I'm looking good. It would be inappropriate for me this morning to take off my shirt and show you just how much progress I've made. So the next best thing is to show you a picture of how I've been working out. I don't see what's so funny about that. Come on. That's the most I've seen you laugh all day. I don't know what's wrong with you guys. I know you may be thinking this is AI generated. This is not AI generated. I mean, it's barely even Photoshop generated. But that's when that's what we think of when we think of strength, right? We've got some weights here, and if you don't mind, in between the sermon points, I'm just going to, you know, I got to keep my physique up, you know, and so I'm just going to fluctuate here and do what I need to do to, you know, a body like this just doesn't happen on its own, you know. Okay, you can take that down now. But that's what we think of when we think of strength. We think of a guy with bulging muscles and just, you know, ripped from shoulder to shoulder. You know, it's aesthetically nice to look at, but that's what we think of when we think of strength. For you women, it's different. You ladies have a different sort of strength. Whereas we guys physically may be stronger, although I have met a few women from time to time who could beat me at arm wrestling. Typically, you ladies have a different kind of strength. And I'll give you an example. This happened just yesterday morning. I was driving here to the church. It was about 8:30 or 9, and I'm driving right past the Bob Kiefer Center. And I see this lady. I'm not making this up at all. This lady was walking not one large dog, but two large dogs. I mean, these dogs were large. And not only was she walking them, not making this up, she had a book in one hand and her phone in the other hand. And I don't know how she was doing it. And I almost got in a wreck and hit a light pole looking at this circus sideshow that I was witnessing. And it was astonishing to me. But it reminded me that you ladies have a different kind of strength. We guys, we tend to focus on one thing. And if we're focused on that one thing, we do that one thing pretty well. You ladies can focus on multiple things and do them multiply well. And so there's a different kind of strength that we're talking about when it comes to men versus women. But what I saw yesterday was absolutely astonishing. This is Labor Day weekend, and so the classes that I teach, I told my students that they have Monday off, so they don't have to check in class on Monday. They've got the day off. You guys are not going to fare so well. I'm going to give you an assignment this holiday weekend. I want you to spend some time in the book of Judges, and specifically two characters in the book of Judges that I want you to read about. The first is Samson, and he's in Judges chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. Just a couple chapters. And Samson, if you went to Sunday school or if you know your Bible, he was the strongest man in the Bible. I mean, talk about muscles. He had muscles coming out of his garments. And he was just strong. I mean, he killed a lion with his bare hands, right? I mean, that's pretty strong. He killed 1,000 of the nasty Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. I mean, the guy was a brute force. Just an incredible whirlwind of strength and might and power. So read about Samson in Judges chapters 13 through 16, okay? But there's another character that I want you to read about in the book of Judges that does not get as much notoriety. And her name is Deborah. She's the only female judge in the Bible. And she carried a different kind of strength about her. And you can read about her in Judges chapters 4 and 5. She was raised up by God at a time when God's people needed moral and spiritual strength. And I want you to read about Deborah and how God used her and her strength at a time when God's people desperately needed her. But here's what I want you to really pay attention to, and something for you to consider as we think about strength, and especially the differences between men and women. Because we tend to focus on the strength of a man, right? That's just the way civilization has been. We tend to look at men for their physical strength and dominance and tend to trust their leadership. But Judges tells us a different story here, and I think it's one that we need to consider. If you look at the very end of the life of Samson in Judges chapter 16, in Judges chapter 16, this is how we read the very last portion of how the story ends when it comes to Samson. We read this. You may remember he was in the temple and he was blinded, and you can read about that. And he put his arms, his strong, massive arms on those pillars, and he pushed the pillars, and all those people died, and he died. This is how the story ends. Thus he, Samson, killed many more when he died than while he lived. Let me read that again. Samson killed more when he died than when he lived. That's how the story of Samson ends. Now keep that in your mind, okay? Now I'm going to go to Judges chapter 5. And this is how the story of Deborah ends. This is the very last sentence of how the story of Deborah ends. Listen to this. Then the land had peace for 40 years. The land had peace for 40 years. That's the last verse in Judges chapter 5. I want you to think about that juxtaposition with me for a minute. We tend to look at the physical strength of a man. You know, his dominance, his might. Yeah. He's going to lead us. He's going to save us. He's going to rule us. But what has civilization tended to show throughout history? That physical dominance maybe doesn't always end as peacefully as we would like it to end. And history has shown us that with rulers and dictators and leaders and pastors, and the list goes on and on and on. But when it comes to the strength of a woman, that often, too often, has gotten overlooked, why would we not want to live in peace year after year after year? My point is, let's not underestimate the strength of a woman. Yes, men have strength, and we have differences in our strengths. But I highlight this difference to show you that when we talk about strength, let's not just be consumed on what the culture tells us strength and masculinity ought to be. Because you ladies bring a strength that we men don't have. And I would say it's a strength that the church and God's people need to rely on more than we've had. Because I don't know about you, but living in peace for 40 years sounds really good. The ancient Israelites, when they heard these words and recited these words, to love the Lord their God with all their strength, understood that to be all their wholehearted effort, their full commitment, their full loyalty, their obedience, everything about who they were was to be aligned with the will of God. Every exertion of energy was to be devoted to loving and serving God. We have recited the Shema every week in Deuteronomy chapter 6. But I want to show you something in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Please turn with me to Deuteronomy 6, because I want to show you some verses that come right after that as an example of how the Israelites exerted their strength in loving the Lord. The Shema, of course, begins in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." But if we go down to verses 6 through 9, we see some very practical applications of how God's people put this strength to work. "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them down on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." You see, this was a daily occurrence. This was not just come to church for an hour once a week. This was every day. Impress them upon your children. Make this a vital part of your life every day. Every ounce of energy you have is to be expended into loving and worshiping and serving the Lord. And then if you go down to verse 18 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, we read this. And this really is the crux of what it means to love the Lord your God with all your strength. Verse 18, "Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you and you may go in and take over the good land the Lord has promised an oath to your ancestors." And so what does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your strength? Do what is right and do what is good in the Lord's sight. Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 25. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 35. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 35. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did, whatever energy you exerted for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, whatever you do, however you exert the energy you have into doing, do it for the glory of God." That sentiment is so important that he says it again in Colossians 3:17. He says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now, I know we've been in Mark chapter 12 for a long time. Someday we're going to get into Mark chapter 14. I promise. We're getting there. I promise. In Mark 14:7, Jesus makes an interesting statement, and he says it in two of the other Gospels as well. Jesus says this in Mark 14:7. He says, "The poor you will always have with you." What is he saying there? There is always going to be an opportunity for you to do good to those who are less fortunate. That's how we love the Lord our God with all of our strength. There will always be an opportunity. Every day you will find, if you're looking for it, or maybe it'll just come to you, but there will be an opportunity every day to do good and to love the Lord by loving someone else with all of your strength. Now, this isn't just a physical strength. This is also a spiritual strength. I wish, if you didn't know my dad, I wish you knew my dad. He passed away 10 years ago, and I miss him dearly. He was short. He was probably 5'5", not very tall. Now, he did have arms, but he wasn't physically imposing. He wouldn't walk in a room and people would go, "Whoa, look at that massive man." That just wasn't him. But my dad did have a spiritual strength about him, in that when he did walk into the room, you did say, "There's something special about that man." And he had a spiritual strength about him. And that spiritual strength came about because he was a man of prayer. When we pray, we can move mountains. Talk about strength. And so there's a divine strength that we receive from God when we are truly a people of prayer. And not just prayer over a meal or a haphazard prayer here or there. Praying continuously, being immersed continuously in the presence of God. And yes, there are times that we go away into our prayer closet and we receive even more inner strength in that regard. But there's a strength that can only come about when we are connected to God. There's also an emotional strength that is desperately needed in our world today. And that comes from being connected with God, but also being grounded and knowing who you are as a child of God and being convinced that you are a son or a daughter of God. And just knowing who you are in a culture that is so topsy-turvy and wishy-washy, we can exhibit an emotional strength that is a source of stability and a steadfastness that our culture needs and our churches need. Like you, if you saw the news this last week, I was so deeply saddened and moved by the shooting that happened in Minneapolis. You know, we can't even start school in this country and go without a school shooting happening somewhere. And this horrible shooting took place in Minneapolis. My uncle lives in Minneapolis, and I've been there and I visited him. I need to go see him again. He's getting up in years, and I have a heart for Minneapolis. But to see on the news what happened was absolutely heartbreaking, and that community is mourning deeply. I was so touched and moved. Maybe you saw the interview of a little boy who talked about a friend of his who was 10 or 11, a year or two older than this boy. And he was telling the reporter that the older boy laid on top of him to protect him from the carnage and the chaos that was going on. Talk about an emotional strength. Talk about willing to literally lay down your life for another. Both of those boys survived. Two children did not. But we read in 1 John 3:16, this is what we know what love is. And Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Then we too ought to also lay down our lives for others. That takes emotional strength. That takes courage. I don't know if at 11 years of age I would have been able to have done something like that. But there is an emotional courage and strength that comes from being so deeply rooted in the Lord. And that's just one of the ways that we can love the Lord our God with all of our strength. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. For he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You know what that tells me? That tells me that strength is always available and in supply for God's people. If you're feeling strong, wonderful, use that strength to love God by loving others. When you're feeling weak, rely upon God's strength to make you strong, and you will be able to exhibit His divine strength through you. God's strength is a never-ending supply for His people, whether you're feeling strong or whether you're weak. And especially when you're weak, His strength flows through you. There's a story of a little boy who was trying to impress his dad and tried to pick up a rock. The rock was really heavy. He's going, "Dad, I'm trying to pick up this rock. I can't do it." And his dad said, "Well, did you ask me to help you?" Same is true with us. When we're feeling weak and we feel like we have nothing left to give, are we asking the Father for His strength to flow through us? For when we are weak, He is strong. Let us love the Lord our God with all of our strength, with everything we've got. May we be devoted wholly to Him.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.